second by Counselor Haskell. Be resolved, the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar is hereby reconvened into regular open session of council at
6:38 PM.
Call the question, all those in favor? None opposed, carried. Resolution 25-093, moved by Councilor Kekkonen, second by Councilor Ryland. Be resolved, the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar does hereby accept the reports, recommendations, and directions arising from the closed session held March the 4th, 2025. Call the question, all those in favor? None opposed, carried. We're back into open session. We'll have a roll call.
Councillor Morley Haskell.
Councillor Debbie Zulak.
Councillor Nick Ryland.
Councillor Mike Kekkonen.
Clerk Administrator Carly Britton.
Deputy Clerk Mary Smith.
Mayor David Moore. Any declarations of pecuniary and our personal interest in the general nature thereof?
Yes, I had a declaration in closed session under 5.3.
Okay, thank you. In the spirit of reconciliation and cooperation, we wish to acknowledge that the land on which we gather is the traditional territory of the Anishinaabe and the Mississauga people. Its boundaries fall within the Robinson-Huron Treaty of 1850 and the Williams Treaty of 1923. We are grateful to live here, and we thank all the generations of people who have taken care of this land for thousands of years. To honor the suffering of Indigenous people and the love and wisdom they've carried for thousands of years, we pledge to work in community and harmony with each other and the environment we inhabit, work towards truth and reconciliation. In resolution 25-094, moved by Councilor Zulak, second by Councilor Haskell. Be it resolved, the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar does hereby approve the minutes of the February the 18th, 2025 regular meeting of Council and the February 25th, 2025 special meeting of Council as circulated. Any discussion of those minutes? Call the question, all those in favor? None opposed, carried. We have resolution 25-095, moved by Councillor Kekkonen, second by Councillor Ryland. Be resolved, the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar does hereby receive the minutes of the Township of McKellar Recreation Committee meeting for February the 6th, 2025 for information purposes. Discussion of those minutes?
Yes, I had to make two date changes. The Recreation Committee caught that I had not switched from 24 to 25 yet. So made those two changes.
Further discussion? Call the question. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried. Resolution 25-096, moved by Councillor Haskell, second by Councillor Zulak. Be it resolved, the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar hereby receives report FD-2025-03, the month-end status update for February 2025 from Fire Chief Robert Morrison. For information purposes. Discussion? Call the question. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried. Resolution 25-097, moved by Councillor Kekkonen and second by Councillor Ryland. Be resolved, the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar does hereby receive the request from the Downtown Parry Sound Business Association to the second annual Maple Syrup Festival to participate with a message as advertising in their booklet for a small donation of $1,000 to assist with printing costs and invite all mayors, reeves, and chiefs to join them on the day of the event, and further that the Township of McKellar continues to contribute to its local annual McKellar Rib Fest. And no donation to the Parry Sound Maple Syrup Festival is being considered for this year. Discussion? Call the question. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried. has received a request from Budget Propane to run three axle trucks with a load not to exceed 6,700 kilograms per axle during the reduced load period, half loads. And whereas Section 122.2 of the Ontario Highway Traffic Act provides that A, no two axle tank truck, while used exclusively for the transportation of liquid or gaseous heating fuel, shall be operated upon any designated highway where the weight upon an axle exceeds 7,500 kilograms. And whereas the delivery of propane for home heating fuel is an essential service, now therefore be it resolved that Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar does hereby grant the request from Budget Propane and Gravenhurst for the extension of the interpretation of Section 122.2 for vehicles used exclusively for the transportation of liquid or gaseous heating fuel to include three-axle, tandem, rear-axle commercial vehicles such that they may carry a weight of 6,700 kilograms per axle. Discussion? Councilor Zulai?
Yes. Did Tom Stongen see this?
He did, and he suggested a deferral so that he can reassess the road conditions in another 2 weeks.
Okay, because last year we passed the same resolution, wasn't it last year?
It wasn't passed. It was defeated on a 3-2 recorded vote.
Oh, was it?
Yeah.
Okay.
And since then, too, it came through, I don't know whether anybody saw it or not, from Good Roads. It just came out today, actually, saying that many municipalities are running into this request. And they're saying it's ultra vires, really, for the township, because we don't have the authority, I don't know where that's coming from, but through the legislation to actually allow this to happen. And my concern last year, as I'll express again, we're upgrading our roads, and I just question why the companies themselves can't do a better delivery date, knowing that the half loads are coming on, either with a smaller vehicle or a different date, because it happens every year that they're asking for this exclusion. I'm just wondering, as we try to repair our roads, and with one hand, and then the other hand, we're actually maybe hurting them by having these overweight vehicles. So that's just my thought. So. Councilor Ryan.
I mean, one other angle, too, is, I mean, this would be unique if we approved this for one vendor and not for all of them. And certainly, I'm most familiar with Georgian Bay Propane having much smaller trucks. Which obviously solves the problem for them. I'm on Superior, not that I think that matters, but you're right. I mean, they suggested to me that I change from a 500-gallon tank to a 1,000-gallon tank, which basically means they come and fill my tank up twice a year, and it'll last, like, so what I had to fill up in January, that will last right through till, October, November next year. So, I mean, that's the other alternative. So, does seem to me there is some alternatives, and I guess the bigger the company and the bigger their fleet, the more likely that they would have smaller trucks that could manage that in the meantime. So,
Councillor Hassan?
Yeah, and I wouldn't really be in favor of the motion either, because last year I seen what happened to the roads, and I think it was right after we passed or defeated that motion that there was a truck came in from Seguin Township through Blackwater Road and did damage to our Broadbent Road.
See, that's the trouble, even if we have a motion, who's actually enforcing it? Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, Nick said perfectly about there are other options if there are taxpayers in our township. Yeah, if they can't get the propane, well, there is options.
Well, the other thing that I hadn't ever anticipated was that prior to getting the 1,000-gallon tank, I had a 500, and they came five times the previous 2 years. To fill it, which is a big cost for them too, just in terms of manpower to deliver it and everything else. So they came to me and made a suggestion, why don't we give you, and they gave it to me for the same price, which is at that point zero, but or $1 a year. But and that makes sense too. So I mean, if these are all known factors and you're running a company proactively, presumably you would say, why don't we do that where we need to? So.
Any further discussion? Do you want to defer this for Tom's input in 2 weeks, or do you want to deal with it right now?
I think we can vote on that.
Take the pressure off him.
Okay. Call the question then. All those in favor?
Oh.
It was to not allow
it. Yes.
Oh, this is allowing it?
Yes.
No, to not allow them to come in.
Right.
I'm in favor of to
yes.
not allow
okay,
them.
Well, motion says all those in favor of allowing.
Oh,
it
does it?
Yes. Be it resolved that council hereby grant the request. What is it? So those opposed?
Opposed.
turn the screws
on. That was the motion I read in my agenda.
It's good when you can vote twice, cause then. I am noticing for the record that some of the transcription occasionally comes up with some odd choice of words that it's hearing, I guess, but anyway.
It's always
well, I'd be amazed if it works correctly. I watch television regularly, and the mistakes they make on there,
yeah.
And they have a lot better equipment probably
yeah.
than what we have, so
yeah.
I don't think they've remedied the problem.
It's much better than it used to be.
Being able to kind of watch, you know, maybe not 100% close, anyhow, so.
We're not really swearing that much.
That's just wishful thinking, right?
Yeah, resolution 25-099, moved by Councillor Cuckin and seconded by Councillor Ryland. Whereas the township has received the terms of reference for community appointments to the West Prairie Sound OPP Detachment Board, and whereas the Community Appointee Advisory Committee shall be comprised of the Chief Administrative Officer, CAO, or alternate from each member of the Council of the Municipality or Band Council of the First Nation, appointed to the West Prairie Sound OPP Detachment Board, and whereas the 8-member municipalities of First Nation are Carling Township, Henby Inlet First Nation, Municipality of McDougall, McKellar Township, Town of Prairie Sound, Seguin Township, the Archipelago Township, and the Municipality of Whitestone. Now therefore be it resolved, the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar does hereby appoint Clerk Administrator Carly Britton to the Community Appointee Advisory Committee, which shall begin upon formal appointment by the Member Council and shall follow the term of Council. And further, that the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar does hereby accept the terms of reference for the community appointments to the West Prairie Sound OPP Detachment Board as presented. Discussion? Councilor Cuckin?
Just for clarification, this Community Appointee Advisory Committee is never even referenced in the Community Safety and Policing Act 2019 because the appointments will be made by the member councils that form the OPP, West Prairie Sound OPP Detachment Board. So this is more of a convenience. So all the member councils select the same candidates that the Community Appointee Advisory Committee recommends to the councils. So I would like to see an addition in this terms of reference that number 9 recruitment process, the advisory, and this is the 1, 2, 3, 4th paragraph down. So it says the advisory committee, and I would like to have added, and member councils shall receive applications in a redacted form to ensure that each application is evaluated on the merits of the qualifications without consideration for the residence of the applicant, so that we receive the applications, the same ones that this committee is reviewing, so we as a council who are ultimately making the decision of who the appointees are have had an opportunity to review the applications and with our due diligence provide the selection, and if it aligns with the committee, that's great, but it does give an option that with dispute resolution, if it doesn't, if we have options that are different from the this advisory committee, that it goes to the dispute resolution.
Yeah, as much as I questioned in the past having the CAOs and clerks make decisions, the pool committee comes to mind, and then passed on to the board itself. The same on the West Prairie Sound Economic Development Collaborative, and now this. I think I agree with what you're saying, how each township should, or each council should be looking at these names as well. I guess the question is, if we're going your route, why do we need an advisory committee?
It was a recommendation by the West Prairie Sound OPP Detachment Board so that all the councils are unanimously appointing the same two individuals.
Right, but my understanding is that it comes back to each council anyway, and you're going to see all the names, I think, in front of you at the time. So I'm just wondering if they're not going to shortlist through the advisory committee, if they're going to be looking at everyone, and we see everyone as well. I'm just not sure of the role of the advisory committee.
I don't see that it says that we're going to see the list.
I thought that was your amendment.
That was my amendment. But, okay, so even, okay, I see your point with, that we don't even need to have the amendment and do not approve the terms of reference and an appointment to the board. Because we would still be part of the process due to the legislation that we are one of the member municipalities of the board, and we are ultimately the, one of the member councils that are going to be making the selection, so that information can't be withheld from us.
Well, that's what I wondered, how the board has set this up, the terms of reference. First of all, I don't know who wrote up the terms of reference. That'd be interesting to know.
It would have been the administrative support at the West Curry Sound OPP Detachment Board.
So that's through.
So I think it's
McDougal?
Lori West. Lori West is the currently right now.
Okay.
So Carling is offered to be the administrative support going forward, but I don't know when that transition is going to take place.
So when is your next meeting, Mike?
April. April. And they would like to make the appointments prior to the. April 17th.
So did you get these terms of reference ahead of time?
No, this is the first I've seen of these.
So shouldn't it go be approved? The terms of reference been approved by?
Yeah, approved by the board, or
yeah.
No, it would
before
be the
it was
councils.
Presented?
No, it would be the councils, the municipal councils. It was the conversation was basically that, you know, the board does not make these appointments, and it was never really the conversation never focused on it was the conversation really was sort of leaning towards that the CEOs at that time, they were saying two or three CEOs should get together, make the decision, and then give that recommendation to the councils, and then that way the councils don't have to figure out who the appointees are going to be.
Yeah, but what I'm getting at is, shouldn't you have seen, since the staff wrote up the terms of reference, shouldn't the board have seen that to see whether they thought it was worded properly? And then that could have been discussed, right? About what you're saying, and maybe the elimination of having somebody in that position, maybe they're not, like you're saying, they're not needed because it's going to go to the council anyways. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, there didn't seem to be any concern about that.
Hmm.
They wanted terms of reference to be put together to have this advisory board, the CEOs decide who the successful applicants would be, and they provide that information to the municipalities.
See, I think that would be an opportune time for the board to say, you know, you could express your thoughts there, and saying that, you know, the staff is writing this up, we need to look at it before it goes out to the municipalities and be reworded properly, or even if we need do need that person in that position.
Well, it would still come back to the municipalities, because the board has nothing to do with the selection process, like the board itself. So the terms of reference wouldn't even be part of what the board is putting together, because the board isn't even part of the selection process for the applicants. It's the municipality, so that's why it's come to the municipalities, because the municipalities are the collectively are the are going to appoint the public representatives to the board.
Yeah, this is a different board than what we're used to. I think that's what we're getting at. But normally, if you send a representative, the board itself has authority to do certain things within its own terms of reference,
mm-hmm.
and then the councils accept that because the representative is there who can bring it back to council. But in this case, it doesn't sound like the board has too much authority. It's more municipality. I just don't know how it's actually going to function effectively if the board can't pass resolutions or without coming back to councils.
The board, once this election takes place, it's just a legislation says that the appointment of the public members to the board is by the municipal. Everything else, the board does not need the municipal approval or inform the municipalities of what the board is doing. It's just the legislation specifically speaks about the appointment of the public members to the board is done by the member municipalities. So that's the only thing that's sort of farmed out to the municipalities regarding the OPP detachment board. But it is like you say, it is quite a divergence from how we expect how things function on the, you know, boards like Belvedere or DSAP, that everything is done within that board structure.
So your suggestion, so go ahead.
Oh. Are you recommending, Mike, that we don't accept the terms of reference as per in this motion?
Do you know what? I don't think there's any harm, but I think that ultimately we have to ensure that we receive the applications exactly as the board is receiving, so that when we're making the decision, we are basically have an opportunity to review who the applicants were, and then we can either deny or confirm that the recommendations were something that aligns with what our expectations as a municipality are.
Because an option would be just to stroke off the last paragraph, like appoint Carly, and then but we're not accepting the terms of reference, but if you're confident, we could leave that on there as long as you're confident that if there is problems with the terms of reference, we can still make amendments.
Yeah, the only thing that I mentioned, that amendment to the terms of reference, would be the recruitment process, number 9, fourth paragraph, and to add the advisory committee and member council shall receive the applications in the redacted format. Because it's not in there anywhere that the member municipalities are going to receive the applications. So in order for us to, you know, do our due diligence and review the applications, and you know, there is section 10 dispute resolution. If you're given names and no other options, well, why would there, you can't dispute anything because you've only been given two options.
You know, it's just logistics here, I guess. If the other townships accept these word for word, the terms of reference, and we don't, I mean, it's going to go ahead by the sounds of it. I imagine things have gone on majority vote. I don't know how, I think that's how it's done on the board. If each township doesn't, let's just say we will receive the names, I guess, although I'm not guaranteed of that. And I'm also wondering about, is it all done in closed session? You start looking at people's names and who's applying for positions. Is the advisory committee meeting in closed session, or do they even, I just don't know how they meet or whether they keep minutes or?
It does say that they'll be functioning under, you know, basically the normal terms of the Municipal Act, that they will have meetings, there will be minutes, there is a quorum, and they would have to go into closed session to discuss the applications.
I'm just wondering about deferral, and you talk April, you meet again?
They want things done before that, just because currently if one, I believe it, if it's one member doesn't attend the meeting, we don't have a quorum, like currently with the board.
So seriously,
I think that's
we're not in favor of the terms of reference.
No, that sounds awkward. Province chosen there too, yeah.
No, we haven't heard anything about that.
But they're part of the quorum, I would assume.
We need, so there's I think it's 12, and we currently have. So if one person doesn't or two people don't show up, because the total number of members is 12. And currently, there is 7 municipalities and 1 First Nations, so that's 8. So if 2 don't show up, we don't have a quorum, because it's counted out of the total members of 12.
Even though you haven't appointed the 2 community
members?
No,
that's what our confirmed membership is of the board.
So do you think it would be advisable that we did a motion stating that we want to change a part of this terms of reference and send that to the other municipalities so that they would see? Or there's no time?
So you've received this correspondence from Lori West?
Correct.
So did she indicate any type of timelines or give any background information?
Tim Hunt was saying that they want the terms of reference approved as soon as possible and the appointment. And I'll just add too that the suggestion was that the CAOs or clerks be part of the selection committee. They don't necessarily have to be. So if council wanted to appoint a member of council, except for Councillor Kekkonen because he's already on the board, like that is also an option as well.
There really isn't a means to provide feedback in terms of the terms of reference. Kind of a strange way of doing things, but
I mean, if they want us to accept the terms of reference, and if we don't want to accept them the way they're written, then we should have some available way of saying that we want this paragraph 9 change, number 9 change, to read such and such.
Yeah, it's unfortunate the way it's set up with time limits and the 11th hour changes and all municipalities having to agree to the same terms of reference. It's going to take some time. We could have other townships right now meeting and wanting changes to the terms of reference the first time they've seen it. So I don't know how we all get on the same page.
So the motion that's on the table, is that a draft that you received from Lori West as well?
No, we put this together.
Okay, so not every municipality might have the same motion on the table?
No, each municipality would not. It's mostly just it's accepting the terms of reference and making an appointment to the selection committee.
So could we not put in, we accept the terms of reference with these changes, and if changes are made, then we will appoint Carly Britton?
You can put that on our resolution if you wish. Not that it's going to have too much effect, but...
Yeah, I know.
We'd have to get the actual wording that Councillor Kekkonen wanted there.
Further review, maybe, of the terms of reference?
Well, I think Councillor Zulak was suggesting to actually write in what we're looking for there in that resolution.
It makes sense. It does. I mean, to simply say that. And frankly, the process is vague at best, right?
Rough way to start a new committee, yes.
Well, I think it was, I shouldn't say that, but I won't say that. I was going to say something not so nice, but.
It does remind me of the Kapool committee when they started up, kind of thing. That's why it was all turned over to the CEOs to try to get anything done.
So this, the terms of reference, is something that has nothing to do with the legislation. We've seen earlier on, we had received several applications as a council that we were able to view in closed session, and that's the way we were going to go. Council was going to, and each council was going to, you know, at that time, yeah, that's sort of awkward too, because if we would have appointed two and other municipalities would have appointed different applicants, then you basically have to rescind the previous resolution, and
a lot of lobbying goes on.
A lot of lobbying.
Just out of curiosity, is it a paid position?
Yes, there would be some payment for the position.
Not significant money?
I'm thinking maybe $200 a meeting.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Paid for by the board or
by the board
municipalities. So the province makes the change to the committee, and then member municipalities have to pay for the change.
Yeah. So that's in the annual budget. So of the board.
And I'm curious about the redacted format. Like, what exactly would be redacted? And again, I would like it to say so. Right? I mean, it's fine to say that we don't, you know, without consideration for the residents of the applicant, that's fine. But, I mean, is that what they're redacting, is the person's address?
Yes.
But again, if we end up with people that are all unknown, it may be redacted, but it's also meaningless. But it's just too open. And I hope that it's well-intentioned and everything else. If so, then state it, right? In terms of the process of what happens, and if it's redacted to remove addresses, okay, say so.
I think it does say in the terms of reference.
It's the same section you have here, but
yeah. Yeah, so it's for the advisory committee, and I put, and member council shall receive applications in a redacted format to ensure that each application is evaluated on the merits of the qualifications without consideration for the residence of the applicant.
Okay, you can say that, but again, it's not explicit. Right? If we're going to remove the address, just say we're going to remove the address. I'm not belaboring this. We can go ahead with the resolution. I mean, that's not my point. It's just that it should be fleshed out.
Okay, the amendment is to add the last paragraph. It's moved by Councillor Keckin and seconded by Councillor Ryan for the amendment. That the Parry Sound OPP Detachment Board has amended to have all applications submitted to each member council for review. That's amended to have all applications submitted to each member council for review. That's the amendment to the resolution. So I'll call the question. Any further discussion on that?
That's a new paragraph added at the bottom. Is that
that's further from presented is crossed out, deleted. So I can read the entire last paragraph if you wish.
No, it's okay.
Just read the amendment again.
I'll read the last paragraph. Further,
okay.
That the Council of the Corporation Township of McKellar does hereby accept the terms of reference for the community appointments to the West Parry Sound OPP Detachment Board as amended to have all applications submitted to each member council for review. So the terms of reference are being amended. So, call the question. All those in favor of the amendment? Okay, so that's carried. And the original resolution as amended, then. Call the question. All those in favor? None opposed. Carried. Resolution 25-100, move that Councillor Zulak, second to Councillor Haskin. Whereas tender 2024-15, purchase of one Class 5 four-wheel drive crew cab dump truck, was awarded at the October 1st, 2024 regular meeting of council. And whereas the Township of McKellar placed an order with Mack Lang Sunridge, which was in turn cancelled by Dodge due to manufacturing restrictions. And whereas those restrictions have since been lifted, but have affected the purchase price of the vehicle, and whereas Mack Lang Sunridge was the sole bidder for tender 2024-15, now therefore be it resolved, the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar does hereby authorize the capital purchase of a Ram 5500 four-wheel drive truck with dump box in the amount of $93,911 plus licensing $375, no HST, plus HST of $12,208.43 for a total amount of $106,494.43. Discussion? Councillor Zulak?
In the description, should it say gas? Because in our discussions, he was saying about diesel gas.
Yes, that was mentioned. That's a friendly amendment.
So
it's a Class 5 gasoline, four-wheel drive. Okay. Further discussion?
So is this being purchased from Appling? Because it doesn't specifically say that.
Authorized capital purchase.
On the bottom, this paragraph here.
But it doesn't say from who the vendor is. No, it doesn't say that. It says, whereas those restrictions have been lifted, but since it affected the purchase price of the vehicle, and whereas Mack Lang Sunridge was the sole bidder for a tender, therefore the Council of Township McKellar. So it doesn't say that we're purchasing it from Mack Lang.
Good point. So after purchase, it's even from Mack Lang.
Because it'd be like, okay, there was sole tender in 2024. So are we going to retender this? And anyone that puts in a bid for 106,000, how much was it? 106,000.
The total amount?
Yeah.
$146,494.43.
Okay.
So two friendly amendments, one was the gasoline and the last purchase from Mack Lang Sandwich. Any further discussion? Now the other question I guess we have, I'm not sure whether Tom has told us a delivery date.
June?
Okay. Call the question then, all those in favor? None opposed? Carried. Anything under unfinished business?
I was wondering if we could put on this unfinished business, or if you've looked any further, if you were going to talk to Near North about the recording on the phone, that this call may be recorded.
I will add to unfinished business.
Yeah, because I think it's important.
Anything else, Councillor Cagney?
So regarding the playground equipment, are we gonna stroke that off? Like we had heard recently, I think at the budget meeting, that you can't purchase anything for $40,000.
I haven't had any verification of that. I don't even know if anything is put out there to see what's available. So that's something that was requested by a person in that area. They did surveys, etc. I assume they still want it, and it was in our budget. I wouldn't like to just cross it out completely without at least investigating. Maybe it can be purchased for $35,000. I don't know, but we haven't even looked into it, I don't think. Maybe you have. I don't know.
Yeah, I called around to a different play equipment vendors, and they had said to me that $40,000 isn't enough. But at the same token, the municipality may be able to look into different options. So maybe for a broadband park, maybe they only require like a slide and a sole swing set. Maybe they don't need an entire play structure. So that could be one option as well.
Could you maybe get some photos of different things with the prices,
mm-hmm.
the different options, and then we could
yep.
look at that and see if there's anything in our price range?
Yeah, that's what we did years ago,
yeah.
and we settled on the one company.
I know there's still interest in the community from mothers of small children, including
for
my
sure.
daughter-in-law, so but I mean, that doesn't change what we should do, but I think that would be viable to see,
mm-hmm.
you know, what can we get.
And then the report T-2025, so it says here, amended report on the March 4th agenda.
So that will be for the March 18th agenda, and it has to be dealt with at that meeting because we have to have it done in March.
Okay. By March 31st.
Correct.
Anything else for unfinished?
I'll touch on the playground equipment. So I guess when it comes to playground equipment, you have to have qualified installers, do you now?
Yes, for liability.
Right, because yeah, I was still thinking that Perry Sound's replacing a lot of their playground equipment, which I'm sure a lot of that would be more than willing to take, because I've taken grandkids to some of the smaller playgrounds, and it's like, wow, you know, this is really nice stuff. McKellar would be more than proud to have it, but if there's no way that we could send a crew in to dismantle and bring out here and remantle, I guess that's just not a...
I could contact the town and see if they would be willing to give us their equipment and then contact installers to see if they could do that. I'm not sure because I think the installers come hand in hand with the vendors of the actual equipment,
yeah,
so I don't know if there's anyone specific that would be legally allowed to install play equipment without...
You would always have to think so.
Yeah, we can look into it further.
Yeah, look into it just to make sure, because rather than good equipment going straight into the landfill, you know, it's just ridiculous because of regulations.
Yeah, it probably has since changed. I know that the road crew actually put up the ones we have and
mm-hmm.
did a good job too. It was a lot of preparation.
Yeah, we'll take a 3-hour course if
yeah.
that's all it takes.
Yeah, that's an
on with our road construction.
Yeah.
And then I'm unsure as to why the town would be getting rid of that equipment as well. Like, I don't know if it's just age or if there'd be, because they get their equipment inspected very frequently, so
right.
I don't
so,
know why they're...
Yeah. Might be a quick, easy answer for you.
Yeah.
But you can let me know. Let's, yeah, drop that subject. Unfinished business, I guess. I got some little stuff. I don't think it needs to go on unfinished business list, but the light in the change room over here, unless the historical committee is trying to preserve it because it's a part of history or something, I think we need a new light in that change room. I couldn't believe it when I went in on the weekend.
Put a lantern in there maybe? A candle?
I think it might be useful too. I've checked regularly. I come over to make sure things are locked up. And that light's quite often left on, such as it is, but it is on. And also the lights in the washrooms are left on, generally.
I guess to make sure they were all, I don't know if they ever changed LED. It doesn't look like an LED in the change room by any means. One of those old flickering 2-2 fluorescents kind of things. So.
Is the light just too dim?
Well, yeah, it wouldn't, I guess because it was cold out, it just wouldn't, it was... You can see, you know, the liquid running around in the fluorescent tube kind of thing. So, yeah, it wouldn't come on in the cold, and that's the business out there. So, if good luck into that, I guess.
Yep.
Okay, there's mice in the basement. In the storage room, the rec storage room, there's two large pots that have been stored in there now, I guess, for years. I have a feeling they were up in the kitchen at one time, and... They've landed down there and they're just not being used. So whether Brandy could have a look at them, and I would almost say take a picture of them, send it off to seniors and the ag group and see if they have any use for it. If not, well then let's get rid of them.
Just pitch them.
Back in April, we talked about thank you letters to any former committee members, not only REC but all committee. Do you know if there was one sent off? For the last member who resigned?
Can you remind me of the name?
Mel Hammond?
No, I did not do one for him. I had been sending letters to...
I think there was one to Al last, I thought.
Yep.
Kind of thing.
And
so.
Then there was two members from the environmental committee I did letters for.
Okay.
But if you give me the details about Mel, I can send one.
Okay. And, oh, and another thing I was looking at out here on the band's shell out here, the sign on it. Now, I don't know if that's supposed to be just part of history, the sign, but I'm just wondering.
Agricultural Society?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so, I don't think, either, it's not even spelled out, it's short form.
Short form.
It has a couple of years. Should we not, unless there's something really valuable, that consider a new sign for that? If maybe we can run that by the
Historical Committee, maybe. Because it is historical.
Agricultural, it's...
Well, I know, but it's historical in a sense, maybe both committees, but you're right, agricultural doesn't really have any authority now over the land or the buildings they used to have.
Yeah. If there's any desire at all, I just look at it and think...
It probably went up because I think they made a donation towards the gazebo as well, and and also for the fair, it's nice to have that up there.
Yeah.
But, I don't know.
Yeah, whether it's something they just... Made up, you know, just for recognition quickly at the time, but it's...
Or was it from the old hall? No.
It could have been the front of the old building, yes, because it had the dates on it.
Yeah.
Might have been the 100th anniversary,
okay.
I think.
So it may have some value, and it's fine the way it is. I just wonder if others want to have a look at it sometime, if you're in, just look at it and think.
Well, I think that would be a good idea. You mentioned Agricultural Society. That might be the place to start, see what they want to do with it.
Yeah, see whether it has sentimental value, you know, kind of thing. Especially maybe if it was one of their members that's, you know, they always want to remember through that sign. So I just thought I'd bring it up because I think as a council we'd be probably should consider changing it if they desire.
Yeah, maybe somebody who never got a card, they made the sign and that's how they're going to be remembered.
Yeah, maybe. I think that's it until committee reports.
Okay, anything else unfinished? New business? Public notices, announcements, inquiries, reports by council members?
There you go.
There we go. Gave you a bit of a brief.
See if somebody else wants to go next. No? Okay, well, I'll get it over with. Okay, we had our snowmobile around the weekend. We had 18 participants. We would have had a lot more, but it was minus 29 that morning, so by the sounds of a lot, bailed out. So overall, it was a success. The Recreation Committee did their budget. Any highlights to that would be, I don't know if we still want to consider swimming lessons or not. I know it's been a challenge over the years getting instructors, and then our facilities down there at the Geese is just real bad. I went down a couple times last year while swimming lessons were on, and it's like you still can't clean it up. So we did not put anything to do with swimming lessons on our budget. So I think just leave it to staff or whoever to think, is it even going to happen? Probably this would be the last year for outdoor swimming lessons for us anyway. I would imagine once the pool's built, everything will head over there anyway. So if it is, I know. Never happened.
And maybe, I mean, I think the entrance one, the Whitestone one's still going, and it's close enough. And they used to share back and forth, so maybe it could be recommended to anybody who comes in and asks that that might be an area to go to.
Mm-hmm.
It's they don't have the same geese problem that we do. So
yeah, they have a lot nicer beach too.
Yeah.
So yeah, that would be a good way to do it then, since we do partner with them once in a while certain things. So did the budget, and highlights would be we're not doing any dances or murder mystery kind of things, but we are going to try a cafe night, and we're going to continue a Broadbent annual social, put a bit of money in for that, and we're going to try what else? Something else, something new. Cafe night, Broadbent social, and there was something other, but I didn't put the note down. But and then next meeting, we're meeting with Jim Shedden from over on the east side and to talk about kids minor ball, who you had corresponded with. He's going to come to the next meeting and see how McKellar can fit into their organizations. So I think that's about it for me.
Sounds good. Councilor Zulai?
Just the library. So we have a new library and CEO. It's Lynn Campbell.
Oh, okay.
And which is great because Terry's retirement is at the end of March. So she's been working with her, you know, getting her adjusted. And
any celebration? Not that Terry would know about it, but
yes, there
okay.
There will be, and you will be notified.
Okay.
Yes. And also they have a posting out for an assistant librarian right now to replace Lynn because she was.
Oh, okay. So
right.
It's not as if you need two people to do one job now.
No, no.
Now there's a vacant position.
Now
okay.
The vacant position is up. And we also got a new board member, which is great. And that's it.
Okay. Councilor Hassan?
Yeah, that one thing I was forgetting about, which I think council should know about, is something we put in their budget was $1,000 toward if we're going to have a ballpark opening ceremonies.
Mm-hmm.
So we allotted $1,000. Council may want to think about consider more, I don't know, but that would basically maybe set up for food and supply food, you know, free of charge possibly to whatever, some sort of ceremonies we can offer up. It'd be nice that we could ball game or two kind of thing. So just I mentioned that. We're trying to keep that in mind, and as we get closer, maybe we can try to pinpoint a date that the ball diamond will be finished and then see if like maybe Graydon or somebody like that wants to attend.
He wants to throw the first
pitch, does he?
Yeah.
Good.
Oh,
well,
there you go.
Right?
He's been asking for a while.
Right on. That's good. So, perfect.
Great. Thousand might not go very far.
So council may want to consider throwing a little bit more just to pump it up a little.
Okay, any other committee reports? Workshops? Okay, consent agenda. We have resolution 25-101, moved by Councilor Kekkonen, second by Councilor Ryden. Be resolved, the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar has hereby received the consent agenda for correspondence. Anything you wish to discuss from that list? Councilor Kekkonen?
There was 25.3, and that was regarding the Industrial Inquiry Commission reviewing Canada Post. And down in the fourth paragraph, it says, during the last public review on the mandate of Canada Post in 2016, The active engagement of municipalities was critical in the decision to maintain door-to-door delivery and immediately stop the further rollout of community mailboxes. However, there is nothing to stop the commission from making recommendations to bring that back or to suggest other cutbacks. And they've enclosed the sample resolution that your municipality can adopt about making a submission to the commission, expanding services such as expanding services at the public post office, and the need for more robust public stakeholder consultation. So I think that our local post office is an important part of our community, and if they seem to indicate that that has some weight, if the municipality participates in the review, that this would be the time to do it.
Okay, Carly, do we have anything like that prior to this? Or they're suggesting a resolution wording here, so rather
yeah,
lengthy one.
We can put a resolution on for March 18th. We'll read through the sample one and then kind of tailor it to our local post office.
Okay, sounds good. Councilor Zula.
So can we also, when you do that, make copies like for Whitestone? Because a lot of their residents use our post office.
Yep.
Okay, anything else on the list? Call the question, all those in favor? None opposed, carried. We have question comment period related to items on the agenda. Anything from in person or on Zoom?
Go ahead, Lawrence.
May I go ahead? Sorry, I can't
yes.
hear you, Carly.
Sorry.
Your microphone.
Yes, go ahead.
Thank you, Mayor Moore. First thing, the audio for all the councilors and the mayor was working excellent today. Thank you. Carly could not hear you at all. So I apologize. I'm still having some challenges on a regular basis with some of the audio. Secondly, the discussion on the truck, that information wasn't included in the agenda package that was posted on the website. I don't know if that is an oversight or not, but there was no information on that in the package. So it's hard for the members of the public to follow if there's no information in the agenda package. And finally, the fire department report, I've seen a few of those. Is there any consideration for collecting some information that may be shared with the public to help prevent any future incidents? I'm not suggesting sharing any of the specific information, but if there's a trend out of those 12 medical aides, maybe there's some information that can be shared with the general public to prevent them happening in the future for other people.
Yeah, I think that's something we could pass on to our fire chief, certainly. He's good at coming to meetings and explaining what can go public and what can't, and I think that would be helpful, yeah. See, a lot of the things we have to get information from Rob as well, the fire chief, because his association with the EMS and when our fire department are called out with the medical calls, what they can and can't do, and for instance, they can't transport, they just have to be able to help all that they can, be the first responder perhaps, but there are limitations. And then of course it'd be there's gonna be some probably confidentiality of who the people are and that sort of thing, but I think even he's recognizing that there are certainly more medical aid calls than there have been in the past, and as opposed to fire calls, and he might have a reason for that, or you know, maybe suggestions on how we can improve our service so that we can concentrate in that area. But I think we could pass it on to the fire chief, yes.
Thank you.
I guess with the microphone, we'll try to get that resolved. Usually Carly doesn't say too much, so we gave her the worst mic problem. the batteries sometimes run out too, even while we're speaking, which makes it difficult. But it's certainly much better than it used to be, and we're working on it. We appreciate that you're online there to keep us in line. And let us know what's being transmitted and what isn't. Any further questions, discussion? Okay, we have resolution 25-102, moved by Councillor Haskam, second by Councillor Zulak. Previous resolve the council of the corporation of the township of Keller is hereby give bylaw number 2025-14, being a bylaw to confirm the proceedings of the council the first and second reading, further read a third time and passed an open council this fourth day of March 2025. Call the question, all those in favor? None opposed? Carried. And resolution 25-103, moved by Councillor Kekkonen, second by Councillor Ryland. Be resolved that council of the corporation of the township of McKellar adjourn this meeting at
7:34 p.m.
to meet again on March the 7th, 2025, for a special meeting of council or at the call of the mayor. Call the question, all those in favor?